Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It is Friday, November the 8th, 2013. Big weekend, homecoming, big game with UCLA. Turning out to be two very good Pac-12 teams. That game Saturday night at 8 o'clock. It's a beautiful weekend, too. Talking about temperatures in the 80s. Can't beat that for this time of year. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a big weekend. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live. We're here 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show so you can hear the program at your workstation, desk, or wherever at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, we're available anytime, anywhere on our podcast programming system through buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. Also, now links to the Buckmaster Show. Our newest media partner is Inside Tucson Business, a link on their homepage, along with the Green Valley News and Sol Rita Sun and blog for Arizona. Friday Focus interview today. The mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with me in studio, along with Mark Evans, speaking of Inside Tucson Business. Mark, the relatively new editor. 3 weeks now, is that?
We're up to six now.
Oh, my goodness. How time flies. If you have a question or comment for the mayor, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. We also invite you to be a friend of the show. Just go to Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Mr. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and Mark, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Bill. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about how you see the results of Tuesday's election. After all, one of the council members unopposed, Steve Kaye, no big surprise there, but the margin of victory for the other two council members really never was in doubt on that end of things. And by about a 2-to-1 margin, the two propositions for the city of Tucson passing.
Well, of course, I was pleased with the results. I was not at all surprised with Richard's margin of victory. I was a little surprised with Karen's margin of victory. I thought she would win. But what really surprised me, quite frankly, and when they handed me the results, I kind of went, huh, were the propositions. Because those were propositions that were, in a sense, highly technical. Hard to get across, not necessarily reading easily, and there's no lobby for them, there's no people really getting out, and the people of Tucson, as you said, by a 2-to-1 margin, passed two propositions that are important to running the city of Tucson, to the actual operations and administration, and to the future planning of Tucson, and to show that kind of confidence in the city, which quite frankly, was not there for a number of years, I hope is a turning point, and I want to take it as a...
Something to build on?
Well, something to build on, and it's kind of a mark that mm-hmm. what we've been doing the last 2 years is starting in the right direction.
Okay, here's Mark Evans.
So the all-male election was kind of sold as two things. It was to help improve turnout potentially and also to save the city a little bit money so you don't have to have all those polling places and the like and all those volunteers. But the turnout was still pretty low. It was less than the last two elections in 2011, 2009. It was about the same as 2007. And it also created some confusion when you had overlapping districts that were in the city that were also holding elections. What's the viability or the future, you think, of all-male elections? Is the city committed to it, or are you going to go back to the way you were doing it?
Absolutely. I think we will stay with vote-by-mail elections. I think that's a national trend. I think you're seeing that everywhere. And quite frankly, the turnout being about what it's been is probably an endorsement of vote-by-mail elections. I had not seen a sleepier election in a very long time, and I was like even surprised that the turnout was at that level. The issue with regard to the confusion between the voting places, and in this case, the only place there was an overlap between Tucson was with the Sunnyside District, and that's something we need to coordinate better with the, you know, we have a great county recorder, F.N. Rodriguez, and we just need to coordinate that better and work on that. You know, the confusions that went out on Unveil, you know, that again was the county's office, but I think there's always ways to improve that system, but I don't think you're going to see going back to old the old polling way. And remember, there was in each ward a place to go on election day for those who really still have that that feeling. But vote by mail works, and it's going to continue.
What do you think is behind the fact that 70% of voters over the last decade just don't take any interest in these city council elections? Well, I mean, it's one thing when they don't show up to the polls, they can make an excuse. Oh, I didn't have time. But here you handed them the ballot, and they chose to throw it in the trash. So is that a sign that, well, for the most part, everybody in the city is pretty happy with things are going, or is it just a greater symbol of overall voter apathy in America?
You know, I would go with the latter. I mean, it concerns me when I look at presidential elections and I see 50% turnouts, and congressional elections where you see 40% turnouts. And, you know, as you go down ballot, the interest is just going to naturally become less. It shouldn't be, and I wish we weren't that way, but I think people, I don't know that it's they don't care, but I think they are either at a point where, yeah, everything's okay, or yeah, I can't make a difference. I would like it if more people would take an interest. And vote by mail was an effort to get people to be more interested. I think we're seeing marginal or incremental improvement in that, but it clearly is not enough to get people, oh yeah, I'm enthused.
Mayor Jonathan Rothschild with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mike is up first. Mike has a gas tax question for the mayor. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering your feeling or opinion on the 25-cent per gallon gas tax, and if you think that would actually curtail small businesses and people moving here and possibly people leaving because of it.
Well, what I've heard is a recommendation from the county administrator to increase the gas tax by 10 cents. And whatever you think of that idea, I don't think you're going to get any traction in our state legislature for it. The administrator's purpose for that is, you know, he wants to see our roads improved. And I think the way we're going to get that done is we have a regional transportation authority, which already has a tax in place. That is due for reauthorization in about 10 years, which seems a long time. We can go out and reauthorize and potentially look at some reallocation of those funds once we've built the roads we've promised sooner. And it is going to be my strong position with this community that we ought to reauthorize that RTA and reallocate some of those funds to transit and also to road restoration so that we can get some of that work done without having a big increase in gas tax. So I like the idea for what that money would go for. I'm not encouraged that our state legislature would follow up on that.
One of our Facebook friends had a question, and I will pass that along. And the question was, are the roads in the university area, this particular Facebook friend felt so much emphasis is going downtown. We need to remember the university area, of course, which is one of the focal points for visitors and residents alike.
Well, I would agree with that. I see the university area as being absolutely connected at this point to downtown, particularly because of the coming of the modern streetcar. And in fact, as we do our city planning, we're really looking at that area as one area. And as downtown prospers, and it is prospering, I want to see that same kind of prosperity move up Fourth Avenue, down University Avenue, and into the university area. And certainly the main gate area has for a long time been actually one of our better success stories, and I think we'll see that continue.
Let's try to get another line on the live line. Roberta is with us before we take the break. Roberta, go ahead. You're with Mayor Rothschild.
Yes. My question was with the expansion of the Broadway corridor that Chief Administrator Chuck Huckleberry stated he would withhold funding if it wasn't done the way that it was originally voted on. Could you make comments about that?
Sure. I think the administrator may have overreacted. I think he was reacting to a meeting where he got some word that people came in very strong to not do anything. In my read of the process so far, the process is proceeding as it should. We're getting citizen input. We're looking at functionality, which is actually what the RTA calls for. Believe me, there have been projects within the RTA that have been modified. And I think we will ultimately get to the right result here. And I think if we play the process out, that the traffic engineers, the citizens, and the governmental bodies will get to the right result, where I think you will see some expansion of Broadway, probably not what was originally envisioned, but I think we're all going to end in a good place. But it's okay to let people voice their views, and quite frankly, in the end, not everybody will be happy, to be certain, but we need to get to the result that is the best result for the community, and I'm still confident we're going to get there.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is our Friday Focus interview. Today, the guest, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, with me in studio to question Mayor Mark Evans, the editor of Inside Tucson Business. Let's take a break now and listen to the fine people who support the Buckmaster Show, and we ask you support them in return. Right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandrau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back, the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, and I am Bill Buckmaster, and sitting here with me, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, and also with me in studio, Mark Evans. Mark is the new editor of Inside Tucson Business. Mr. Mayor, the state is out with its annual job creation predictions for 2014. Not surprisingly, most new jobs will be in the Phoenix metro area, where about 70% of the population already resides. That area will get, though, more than its fair share of these 59,000 jobs being created in the state. Some almost 47,000 new jobs. That's 4 out of every 5 will be in Maricopa and Pinal counties. We'll get about, in Pima County, about 7,800 jobs. How do we pump that up a little bit?
Well, there's two things. One, Phoenix is the fifth largest metropolitan area in the United States. And so comparing us to Phoenix, there's a business synergy there, which we're just beginning to even create. But that being said,
but when people see like this Apple announcement, a manufacturing center in Phoenix, the people here in Tucson always say, look at that, Phoenix, Tucson dropped the ball.
Well, nobody threw that ball our way. But what's interesting about that is it's interesting that it's Mesa, and Mesa is booming. And they're a model. They're not that different than this community is, you know, in terms of population, actually interesting enough in terms of some demographic, economic demographic, and they've done some things the right way. We have got to step it up in our economic development, and I'm pushing at some of those traditional forces to say that. Now, that pushing and getting it done are two different things. I want to focus on our aviation and defense industry, and in this way, we've got some great primes here. I'm not sure how much they contract with our local subs. If they would increase their local contracting by a few percentage points, it means hundreds of millions of dollars for our community.
Rather than outsourcing out of state or wherever.
Now, our locals have to be prepared for that, yeah. But that's a conversation I'm going to have. You know, the Mexico work. We've done a lot of work in Mexico. We've ended the hate talk. We've gotten, I think, on a bipartisan level, people now to see that this is one economic region. Now is the time to start saying, okay, that's great. And quite frankly, I'm not that worried about Mexico. They are a country, they're coming from a much different position, but they are rising. We have to start having serious engagement with our friends in Mexico about what businesses can take manufacturing here, which can capitalize on Mexico, and what Mexican businesses want to beachhead here. And by the way, the Apple in Mesa, it wasn't Apple. It was a sub of Apple, a glass company that is going to be manufacturing and shipping down to Mexico for shipping back. We've got to start looking at those kind of things.
All right.
You know, and there's any number of areas.
So along those lines, I've written about this, the Republic, the Star have all written about this, about how Tucson is strategically located to capitalize on the Mexican miracle, the Canamex corridor, and create Tucson as a logistics hub for the movement of these goods and services in and out of Mexico and up into Canada and then parts elsewhere to the east and west ports. And that's going to require a significant investment, both state, federally, and locally, of infrastructure. Can you characterize that? I mean, it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build the I-11 just through Santa Cruz and Pima counties.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and here's the bottom line on that. This has got to be a statewide consensus. Scott Smith up in Mesa has put together a group in Phoenix. I've put a group together here of basically people that are very focused on transportation. And the game plan, and Scott and I are working very closely together on this, and this is a good thing for us. The Phoenix people understand that you've got to start in the South, because if it doesn't come up from the South, it never even gets to Phoenix. So it's building out the SR-189, it's building out the I-19, and quite frankly, it's doing the I-10 improvements. That's what's going to happen over the next 20 years. And there's really almost no local money that's involved with that. It is going to the state, getting the state to commit to their state share, but ultimately the lion's share of that money has to come from the federal government. So it's a question of us working with our state officials to go to Washington and get that money here and make the case on a national basis for the importance of the Canamex. And I think we do have good consensus around that. You know, we can always argue about this little point or that little point, but that's where we're going to have to get it done. And you know, the problem with infrastructure is it takes, we start today, we could see it in 10 years. And so we have to keep our focus on that. And at the same time, while we're doing that, I want to talk about getting the Mexican businesses here, getting the American businesses here that are doing business with Mexico.
So the Mariposa port expansion is going to be completed sometime early next year, yeah. I believe in the spring, yeah. But there's no staffing for it in order for it to run full to all 20 lanes or whatever it is. So the U.S. Customs, the Homeland Security, had a pilot program to have local communities pay for that extra staffing because they were going to get that funding out of the feds. And the Texas legislature put up the funding, as well as a number of local communities in Texas, the funding to get four of their ports to be part of this. Arizona didn't put up any money, didn't even make an offer to the federal government. How did we miss that and the opportunity to use state funds and local funds to staff that port?
We have to do a better job with our state legislature. Now, I will say I'm encouraged to this extent. You know, Stanton and I went down to Mexico, then Stanton went down to Mexico, then I went down to Mexico.
The mayor of Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. And the mayor's been doing the job. Just recently, for the first time, a delegation from the state legislature went down. Now, and I've talked with the governor about it, and she certainly understands the economic argument. We have to get our state legislature to commit to put the necessary funds. We're talking 10 cents to every 90 cents for the federal government, and we have to commit to that. Now, part of that, remember where we were 2 years ago, and so we've had to really change the thinking at the state level. I think we've changed the thinking. Now we've got to get them to take the action. And with Smith's commission, with my commission, you know, hopefully we can get the ear of the folks in Phoenix to understand this has to be done. You know, at the federal level, you know, we're going to be looking at some large immigration reform bills at some point. There's been this large commitment to border security. You can take some of that money and shift it over to Customs and get that project done. You know, I like to say, if you're talking about security, Border Patrol bus guys with backpacks, Customs bus guys with trucks.
Well, you can also disguise that money, that security money, as actual Customs money.
It is. Right. I mean, Customs does that function as well. Right, exactly. Absolutely.
Well, you say don't compare us to Phoenix when it comes to jobs. When you hear people comparing us to Detroit, what do you say?
I say that's ridiculous.
How are you going to solve the pension problem? You're going to have to come up with some money somewhere, somehow, over the next few years.
That's a real interesting question. So, and here's where we're at. Our TSRS, which is the one that there was sort of the shot across the bow on, and I think people need to be prepared for another shot. When we get the story out, I've been to the chamber, and Councilmember Kozacik conducted a panel with some experts. When we get the story out about what we've done, everyone who listens, who sort of came in with the same attitude, says, you guys are doing an amazing job. You have that one under control. the PSRS, the public safety, is a program that we control not at all. It's state. And the state basically sends us the bill every month, and we got to write the check. To the unions, police, public safety unions' credit, they went and negotiated with the legislature a couple of years, made some changes. The court overturned it. We're waiting and should have in the next couple of weeks an opinion from the court, which will tell us what we can do and can't do, and then we'll have to start the adjustments there. The real problem with the pension issue for us in Tucson is that we have a large, large number of retired employees, and so that number just will continue to grow, our fixed obligation, when we can't ever change. And that can impend our present services.
Mayor Rothschild, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, still to come, our Reporters Roundtable and Weekend Watch.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The government reports today that employers in October added a surprising 204,000 jobs to the economy. There had been expectations that the partial government shutdown would have dampened hiring, but apparently that was not the case. A Russian news agency says the country's foreign minister will be flying to Geneva to join the Iran nuclear talks. Secretary of State Kerry is already there, along with European counterparts. The U.S. is bringing an aircraft carrier home from the Persian Gulf region. It's kept two of the ships there for months as the administration considered a possible military strike on Syria. On Wall Street, stocks sharply higher. The Dow is up about 108 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 56, and the S&P is trading 18 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's The Intelligent Voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are kind enough to give us a few minutes of their time to talk about the week's top stories. And this week we have with me in studio Mark Evans, the editor of Inside Tucson Business, now in his sixth week at the helm already of Inside Tucson Business. And Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. If you have a comment or question, the live line number is open for you at 790-2040. Sarah, how are you today?
I am well, thanks for asking, Bill.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I want to begin with, of course, when we always talk about what are the top stories, the even though it was termed, Mark, the sleepiest city election.
That's what the mayor called it. Yeah.
Mayor called it sleepiest election in memory. It is important. And what do you take from this election?
A number of things. The Tucson is terrible message that has been bandied about on conservative talk radio and in some of the conservative blogs for the past 4 years didn't resonate. It didn't get out any voters. It didn't enthuse the Republicans to get them to turn out. Turnout was lower than it has been for this election than the previous two elections. And so I think the Republican Party has got a lot of work to do in the city if it wants to be relevant, if it wants to get a Republican or conservative voice on this council. It's got to take a long, hard look at itself and how it's running its local elections, what its ground game is, and what it's doing to get its membership out to vote, plus get independents to vote along with them to overcome the Democratic registration edge. So that was my main takeaway. I was, like the mayor, surprised at the margin of difference between Karen Ulick and Ben Buehler-Garcia. I think Ben would have made a good councilman. I think he ran, I don't know if he ran harder, but I think he ran a little better campaign this year than he did 4 years ago when he came very close, just a couple hundred votes. So a double digit loss was something that I did not expect.
Sarah, there's been so much grumbling about what a horrible place Tucson is to live, and then we put three council members up for re-election, and this is the opportunity for the people who really think this is just such a bad place to replace them and look at the margin of victory.
Exactly. I think Mark is precisely right that the message that Tucson is terrible, we don't know what we're doing, it's just an awful place to live, is something that is probably popular within a certain circle, and but it doesn't. It's not. People don't go out to vote or even mail in their ballots. They're not motivated by a negative message, really. I think voters want to do something. They want to be taking an affirmative step, voting for something. And so I think when you focus so much on how awful and how far short Tucson falls in your estimation, that just sort of is a bummer. And I don't think that voters really respond to that, and I think that's what we see in the results.
What did you think about the Vail election? Any thoughts there, Sarah?
Well, I think I give credit to the people involved in the drive to incorporate Vail. That takes an awful lot of work, and I know they must be very disappointed that their neighbors did not go along with what they wanted. I think an incorporation decision is always tough because it comes down to dollars and cents, and it's a question of priorities. And it's also kind of in the weeds and inside baseball and hard to understand in short sound bites. So I think they should be proud of themselves that they got this far, but it just wasn't far enough to make it actually its own incorporated town.
And Mark, you covered some incorporation when you worked for the Northwest Explorer. You covered quite a few of the...
Yeah, I covered the 97 annexation rush, or excuse me, incorporation rush. There was a change in state law back then that allowed for communities in Pima County to incorporate without having to get the permission of neighboring cities under the existing state law. And there were 12 or 13 different unincorporated areas of the metropolitan area that were looking to incorporate. Two managed it, Tortolita and Casas Adobes up on the northwest side. One went to a vote, Catalina Foothills, and lost. And at the time, there was a great deal of interest in protecting suburban areas from the city, from encroachment by Oro Valley, Marana. The existing municipalities were annexing like crazy. And so there was a lot of interest in creating new towns. And Vail kind of generated itself organically around the Vail School District. There's a lot of conservatives who live down there who were nervous about the city of Tucson annexing down into their area. And so they've been talking about incorporation down there for a little while. I think what doomed them was the fact that there isn't a tax base. There isn't a real taxable base down there for them to have a sales tax, and nobody in this state really likes a property tax. And so they were trying to sell the town based on state shared revenues, and the numbers just weren't penciling out. And I think that's what spooked the voters, is that even if they might have been supportive of having their own town and protecting themselves from Tucson, they weren't interested in having a new tax. And I think that they saw the writing on the wall that if they created a new town, they'd be creating a new tax. And I think that was probably what did it in. For the region, it's not good news. We still have the same problem we've had here for a long time, which is a large unincorporated population that doesn't receive the state shared revenues percentage that Maricopa County gets, because most people live in municipalities up there. So regionally, it was bad news, but I mean, that's why we have elections. The people of Vail have spoken.
Sarah Garrett-Gaston is with us on the live line. Sarah from the Arizona Daily Star, Mark Evans, editor at Inside Tucson Business, front page story in the Star this week. Sarah, TUSD's Johnson Primary School named as Pima County's only failing school. You have to feel sorry for the kids that teach, I guess, everybody involved with a school that's named the only failing school. That's got to be demoralizing.
Yeah, it is. And having covered the public education and the whole school labels from the back into the 90s when they first started to come up, it's something that is demoralizing in it, and people who are very involved in schools take it personally. I think that the issue out at Johnson is that it's a school that has its K are pre-K through second grade, and it has 370 students or so. And it is in a very economically stressed part of our community out to the west. And historically, schools like Hohokam Middle School and Lawrence, that part of our community has had schools that have really struggled. One thing that my colleague Alexis Wicochea, who wrote that front page story, notes in her piece is that she quoted Steve Holmes, who's the assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction, talking about how when they looked at the curriculum of the school, there wasn't a lot of consistency and a lot of, you know, everything on the same page and everyone understanding what everyone else was doing. And that is just fundamentally key in any kind of education. So the fact that after all these years and all these warning signs that still is the situation out there is troubling. I hope that they can put the resources and the expertise necessary to do what's right for those kids, because in the end, you can be embarrassed or think that the labeling system is unfair, but if kids aren't being educated and aren't learning, that's what really matters.
And there's good news, bad news also in that announcement, in that in the previous years, we've had multiple schools that mm-hmm. have been in trouble. We've had schools in TOSD that had to go through turnaround because they had failed multiple times under the previous labeling system. You had schools similar in Sunnyside that have had under the previous labeling system that were approaching turnaround. And we don't have that. So I don't know whether it is a change in leadership, improvements in leadership in both school districts, whether it is simply a change in the labeling system and the accountability, or whether the accountability regimes that have been going on for the past 10 years with the Arizona Learns, AIMS, No Child Left Behind are actually taking effect, and we're starting to see some improvement in these impoverished schools. I mean, that is really the crux of the problem in the education system. We don't see these problems in affluent communities. We don't have these problems in Cat Foothills and Oro Valley and out in Vail, where people have or people of means are sending their kids to public schools. All these problems in these schools are in impoverished areas and impoverished communities. The problem really is not the way in which necessarily a school educates. It's the headwinds that poverty creates and our inability to treat them effectively other than have rigorous testing regimes.
Mark Evans is with us and Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star and Douglas Elementary. You spent some time over there doing some research and helping out at Douglas. They're celebrating 50 years, as you noted in your column on Thursday, Sarah.
Yes, and this morning I attended. They had a really wonderful celebration in the auditorium with all the kids wearing special anniversary T-shirts, and they had a lot of former teachers and superintendents and board members and people who had attended the school, and it was just a celebration of a school and a community that really has figured out how to come together and put kids first. And it was just, I wish every day could start that way with little kids. I mean, you haven't lived until you've been in an auditorium with hundreds of little kids all singing and dancing in the same song and just being jivey and excited. It was great.
We don't really, we didn't have time, Mark, to get into it with the mayor, but of course, there's some progress being made with the what to do about the TCC question.
Right. The latest audit from the state of Rio Nuevo came out, and it was good news, bad news. The good news was it looks like the bad old days of Rio Nuevo are behind us. The district seems to have righted its ship. It's got stable leadership. It's got a stable income. It's making money. The bad news is it's not making enough money over the projected life of the district to really do what's necessary for the TCC. The audit was quite damning that the TCC is totally inadequate for the size of the community that we're in, and the essentially cosmetic renovations that are planned are not going to be enough. So it suggested that Rio Nuevo come up with another mission for its $50 million that it should bring in over the next few years. And that that's Should the city change? Needs a convention center. The community is going to have to come to the, come to terms with the fact that there's probably going to have to be some other funding mechanism other than Rio Nuevo to do what's necessary to fix that
convention center. Should they change the name of Rio Nuevo?
There's I wrote that 4 years ago, that Rio Nuevo was such a bad brand that at a minimum, just change the name and let's just bury Rio Nuevo out in the Santa Cruz River and call it something else. I mean, that's certainly not going to solve all of Rio Nuevo's problems, but it maybe help people forget those bad old days.
Should we change the name, Sarah?
I think that would be a very good idea.
Step in the right direction.
Yes.
Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star, thank you very much for joining us on the Live Line. And Mark Evans, always good to see you. And we'll be looking for the work you're doing now with Inside Tucson Business. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Thank you.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
All right, it is time for the weekend. That music, of course, signals, it heralds a weekend. And Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where next weekend they're getting ready for the Fiber Arts Festival. Lots of great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, and what, three and a half hours east of Tucson, to a totally different environment. You can stay at Bear Mountain Lodge, Continental Divide RV Park, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, just to name a few. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website to get you going for a great time over in Silver City. And now let's welcome the host of Weekend Watch, the award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, who had my mouth watering today after I read his column about some new cuts of beef that are becoming very popular with steaks. Matt Russell.
Absolutely, Bill. You know, we're lots of conventional cuts in steakhouses, like the strip and the sirloin and the filet and the ribeye. But there's some more peculiar cuts of beef that are starting to show up on restaurant menus across Tucson. Pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business this week. You can learn more about it.
I heard you say something about the strip. I wonder if you're up in Las Vegas.
No, I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas tomorrow, but I'm calling now from the intergalactic headquarters of Fox Restaurant Concepts up in beautiful Scottsdale is where I am right now, and just having a great Friday. I wish I could be down there heralding the weekend with you in Tucson, but duty calls up in Phoenix.
Got a happy hour pick for us?
Yeah, you know, as long as we're talking about Fox, let's recommend North for happy hour today up at La Encantada. Of course, the weather is spectacular, which makes that beautiful patio the perfect destination. My happy hour at North almost always includes what's called a bottle and a board, which is a pizza of the day or a chef's board of Italian bites and a bottle of wine for only $20. Happy hour starts at 3 o'clock today up at North.
And because of who you are, I'm sure they actually moved the happy hour up to about 12:55 this afternoon on the patio. Everybody loves a piece of pecan pie or pecan pie, and there's a festival this weekend heralding the pecan.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's really put Southern Arizona on the culinary map is our rich source of pecans, and I think the pecan groves near Sarita produce some of the finest in the world. So what better way to celebrate this fun little nut than tomorrow at the annual Sarita Pecan Festival? So much going on there to talk about here, Bill, but just imagine delicious barbecue and other local fare, beer brewed with local pecans, a pecan pie contest, live music and arts and crafts, all starting tomorrow at 9 at the Sarita Pecan Farm in Sarita down I-19.
You know, the lovers of blue cheese, and there are many, it's blue cheese is one of those things you either really love it or you're just not that inclined to like it, but there's a blue cheese shop opening.
There is, and, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm a huge blue cheese fan, and our favorite cheesemonger in town, Tana Fryer, has just opened her first retail cheese shop inside Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics in St. Philip's Plaza. It's called Blue, and they're featuring artisan cheeses for every palate, from a rich goat cheese from right here in southern Arizona to a gorgeous blue cheese that you described from Oregon that is wrapped in brandy-soaked grape leaves, if you can imagine. And, of course, these craft cheeses all pair beautifully with Alfonso's extra virgin olive oil and aged balsamics. Let Blue put together an exquisite cheese platter for you this weekend up at St. Philip's Plaza.
It is a huge weekend. Homecoming, lots of visitors in town. They're over in the main gate area, so there's lots going on this weekend. So get out and enjoy some of our wonderful restaurants.
Yeah, never a shortage of things to discover on the food and cocktail beat. Can't wait to come back to Tucson to dive in.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great time.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
We'll be right back. Also want to mention the Veterans Day Parade that is coming up on Monday. I believe the start time is 10:30 in the morning in the downtown area for Tucson's annual Veterans Day Parade. We want to urge everyone to take part. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show this week. Bottled water on the program supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Our thanks to Culligan for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Expert Talk begins tomorrow with Phil Cedar here on KVOI. I've got a lot of local talk for you. Phil's show starts up at 7 a.m. tomorrow with all the gardening, what questions you perhaps have as we get into the now mid-autumn gardening season. John C. Scott Show this afternoon, 3 to 5. Wake Up Tucson back with us from 6 to 8. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, who's enjoying a well-deserved day off in the Windy City, and KVOI Operations Director Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.